The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back as we head into Hour 3, September 10th, 2020. Just saying that date still gives me chills. I don't know if that's true of y'all or most of you all or a certain amount of y'all. But after 19 years, we've put a lot of mountains, hills and mountains, blockades between the memory of the dread day, September 11th, and now, haven't we? Haven't we? We've reversed a lot. And we've conflated and confused the issues a lot. I don't know if those dates, September 10th, September 11th, have the same poignancy that they used to. In any event, we'll come back to that. We'll talk some more about it probably tomorrow. Alan in Phoenix. Yeah, Alan, are you still there? Yeah, you made an interesting point at the top of the last hour, which is how much of the Democratic Party establishment and how hard they went after Tulsi Gabbard, who by any standard of measurement could conduct herself really well in an interview, so much so she was kind of the candidate who we Republicans probably knew wasn't going to get the nomination, but also kind of knew was the candidate we didn't want to run against. Funny how the Democrats didn't pick up on that, right?
Well, and it's absolutely true. And the reason why they didn't is because, one, she was an outsider from 16 when she wasn't on Hillary's bus at the time.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Hillary had a... Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And she got out, and she had a position on the Democrat National Committee as a undersecretary or something, or a second, whatever.
Right, second delegate to the convention on nothingness, but yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So she was at the outs from them, and she also is really much more pragmatic and independent than a lot of them. And so Hillary was never going to allow her to be anywhere near the top of the ticket because she would not keep the secrets. See, the key on this is the secrets. All the criminality that happened within the Obama administration, especially in the last 4 years, when he got to run absolutely unopposed at anything and could get away with everything, as we're seeing that is now being come about. And that's the biggest challenge. That was their challenge. That's why they ended up with Biden, because they could bring in the Obama people, the Susan Rices of the world, and all these other people who know exactly where all the bodies are, exactly who did what, and try to figure out how to manipulate the DOJ, who still got some people still around, to make sure that if Biden wins, that they can take the shovels and cover all this crud back up quickly instead of what Trump is doing, which is exposing all these things. So, and he is hated by the Republicans and the RINOs just as much as she was hated, because he's an outsider and he wasn't going to cover up this crap either.
Yeah.
And
well, you know what's also interesting to me is you say, you know, some people might say about Tulsi that Tulsi Gabbard that well, you know. She's young. She doesn't have a lot of experience. She has a lot more experience than others. She certainly had a military career. And it's interesting, you know, she's not younger than the squad. The squad of Ayanna Pressley and AOC and Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib. But that is who Hillary and Nancy coddled. They coddled that group of far left wingers, and they didn't want Tulsi Gabbard. It's an interesting distinction, or an interesting discernment, I guess I should say, because Tulsi Gabbard's the kind of person that can sell outside of just Honolulu, whereas, you know, I don't think Ilhan or AOC can sell outside of their districts, but they did toe the line, didn't they? They did also represent something that Tulsi Gabbard didn't, which was, I mean, Tulsi Gabbard is a patriotic American, and the others are not. That shows you something about the direction of the party, too. I believe you're right about not wanting to lift up the covers and pull back the curtains on things like Benghazi, but I think it also shows you something about the ideology and the direction of the party, where you have someone who's very articulate, experienced, and, you know, not an American hater, as opposed to inexperienced American haters who Nancy Pelosi and Hillary Clinton did coddle up to.
Yes, she's a scoop accent type of Democrat.
I do have to say there are some weird things. I mean, she does have some weird stuff. I don't want to. I don't know that I'd put her at Scoop Jackson level, but a couple clicks below, certainly several clicks to the right. Certainly several clicks to the right of Kamala Harris or Ilhan Omar.
Oh, absolutely. I give her some leeway in the fact of where she has to get elected from.
Okay.
But if you actually look at some of her history, and before she was actually elected to Congress, she was quite an independent individual. She wasn't really radical. She wasn't raised that way. I learned a lot about her and others in that my daughter goes to school, University of Hawaii, so you learn a lot of things.
Yeah, sure.
So, and she was, but there was no way that Hillary would allow cutie pie surfer girl who is smart to be the first woman president of the United States. That would just make her even crazier than she is.
there's an interesting resentment Hillary carries, isn't there? Yeah, an interesting set of resentments about that. Yeah.
Yeah, because it was hers. And Hillary just never figured out. She lived in her little bubble, but she never figured out that she was just grossly unlikable as a human being.
I was just going to say, before you finished that sentence, she never understood she was unlikable. That's exactly where I was going to say, Alan. She never understood that the vast majority of Americans, given their preference, don't want to be yelled at through their screen all the time.
No, they don't. And my biggest problem with her, you know, up until she became First Lady, nobody gave a crap about her. Who cared? But as soon as she became First Lady, the first thing she did was ruin Billy Dale's life. Now, Billy Dale was this obscure government employee in the travel
office. Yeah, I remember the travel office, right.
And worked for a lot of different presidents, and he was a nobody. And because she's a secretive person, they wanted, and that's a really kind of a lucrative office because it had little perks. You know, if you've been in the travel industry, yeah, there's some kickbacks and whatever, blah, blah, blah. Nobody cares. But she, instead of just sending a staffer in to say, hey, Billy, you know, change of administration, you know, we're going to have some changes. You know, why don't you train whoever has been in, and you've been a great employee and you can go find another job. No, she sticks the FBI on him.
Yeah, she made their lives miserable. That's right. I remember that.
Right, and ruined his life, ruined his career, ruined his health, ruined everything, bankrupted him. And it was all to prove a point that she was the queen bee. And it was terrible.
I remember that, and I remember the secrecy with which she engaged in what was once called, does anyone even remember Hillary Care? It was so bad it caused the Newt Gingrich Revolution of 1994. People have a fading memory of that, the secrecy with which she operates. It was very clear, too, that she has done a lot for this woman who was seen as, you know, the political leadership of the year of the woman in 1992. She had done a lot to suppress the stories of what would become a Me Too movement. You know, she had done a lot to protect one of the great political female woman abusers in public life. She had done a lot.
Oh, absolutely. She's probably, honestly, if all the facts have come out, probably the biggest political criminal in the history of the United States.
Well, I think she's gotten away with an awful lot because there's this weird loyalty to the Clintons with a lot of people. Although I do have to say, you know, I think it's lost some of its luster. Did anyone really talk about how excited they were to see her or Bill Clinton at the Democratic National Convention. I didn't. I will tell you one effect of the Me Too movement. I did know liberals and lefties who were saying that they thought it outrageous that Bill Clinton was given a spot at the Democratic National Convention this go round. I think the shine on them has faded, and good riddance. Good riddance.
Well, that's what happens when the 900 FBI files that you have on people are now getting older, and a lot of those people are dying.
Right.
So those people, that's the handle they had. I mean, that was the hammer.
Yeah.
And guess what?
That usefulness fades with time.
Your hammerhead space of time.
Yeah. Well, we'll get rid of her. We'll get rid of this crew. We'll just do it year by year, Alan. Thank you very much. I'm Seth, 602-5080-960. Be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. I haven't told you about the silliness from Bill that took place today. If you just need to understand the difference between my producer and me, it's all summed up in the fact that we were working earlier this afternoon before the show started, talking about and planning the show, and we were splitting a pizza and talking about the interview with Bill Barr. I was going to have Attorney General of the United States. I had it in the last hour. If you missed it, you can get it at our website, 960thepatriot.com. He was here in Phoenix. Great, great man. I think of him as maybe the best Attorney General we've ever had, but or at least in my lifetime. But Bill said at the end of our meeting, he goes, Bill Barr and pizza, what could be better? Skinless chicken and Tom Cotton, I guess, he said. Why skinless chicken? This is the difference between Bill and I. The skin is a great part of the chicken. And worse, why chicken? Why, when you're thinking of a delectable, do you go to chicken? It's not a bad thing, but if you're looking for superlatives, if you're looking for ideas of the great, I don't think anyone ever said chicken. Ribs, maybe? This is the difference
chicken
between you
and
me.
Broccoli.
You want chicken and you want it without skin, and you think that that is some kind of apex of gustatory delight.
Hey, what happened?
Yeah, yeah. I will never forget this. This will never leave my mind. You could have talked about standing rib roasts. You could have talked about, you know, any number of delicacies. Ribs, you know that ribs are the best food there is. And yet you said skinless chicken. You're sticking with that? There is a lot of chicken when you think about it in this world. Do you realize how much chicken how many in a given day, how many drive-through chicken places do you see? And never mind the grocery store, and never mind each restaurant has their one chicken item. Notice that? Have you noticed that, Bill? This should tell you something. Restaurants have like one chicken item, maybe. If they have it, they have one. But they have, you know, several meat dishes, several seafood options. It tells you something. You know what it tells you? Chicken is not the apex of gustatory delight. But there is a lot of it. You're right.
It's amazing we don't run out.
It's amazing we don't run out. Like we did toilet paper, huh?
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Or paper towels or Clorox wipes. Have you folks seen the latest effort in the woke war, culture war games, the woke culture war games? Oscar nominees. I suspect that it's going to be true at the end of the year that professional sports is going to have much less viewership. We've seen reports on that so far, kind of piecemeal. But I suspect by the end of the year, having gone through several professional athletics, I don't know, what do you call them? Not teams. not teams, but associations, baseball, basketball, football. What would you call those? Leagues. Yeah, leagues. Several leagues. Once we have seen them all play out, I'm going to guess our viewership, American viewership, will be substantially down because it's not about sports anymore. It's not about athletics anymore. It's about ramming social justice notions down our throats while they make millions of dollars and preen about the oppression in this society. And at the same time, coddle true dictatorships of true slavery, engaging in true child slave labor. But the Oscars, I wonder if it's going to be true with the movie industry as well. Now, you know, the movie industry has had to shift certain aspects of what they do on dimes, right? Because of theaters closing, I guess they're now reopened, but for a long time, closing. But they looked around to see what they could do, Hollywood did, to improve their condition, and they went the way of professional athletics. Did you see this? Would-be Oscar nominees now must meet specific representation and inclusion standards, I'm reading from NPR, in order to be eligible for the Best Picture category. In other words, you will not be eligible for a Best Picture nomination, much less victory, based on ability to act. It unveiled the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, these new requirements earlier this week, Tuesday, saying they are intended to, quote, encourage equitable representation on and off screen in order to better reflect the diversity of the movie-going audience. Has anyone in the movie-going audience been underrepresented or felt underrepresented at the movies? At fiction, at portrayals of people that you are not in the first place. You do know what an actor is, right? An actor is someone who gets paid to be someone they aren't, unless they're in a cameo role. And I can't think of the last major motion picture that had a cameo role in it. An actor is paid ipso facto to be someone, to portray someone they are not. Anyhow, these come with fairly rigid requirements that will include certain percentages of those in the acting body having to meet certain standards of identification having to do with race, gender, and people from the LGBTQ community. It's going to be interesting to see if courts ultimately even hold what the Academy is doing as legal. You know, in education and civil rights law, this game has been played about affirmative action, racial preferences and affirmative action, that you cannot use race as a single factor for the admission of someone. It'll be interesting to see if it will apply to entertainment when it comes to specifically identifying and using race and quotas as a matter of hiring opportunity. It could very well be struck down. Who knew that the culture wars of race and civil rights would go into Hollywood? Who knew? See, now, that kind of helps you get towards the concept of what we're looking for when we're talking about gustatory greatness. There are no Jimmy Buffett, or for that matter, any other songs I can think of about chicken, much less skinless chicken. I just can't think of it.
skinless chicken in paradise.
No, that would not work. That would not work. Things could be better, Bill. Things could be a whole lot better. Robson, surprise. Hey, Rob.
I'm sorry, Seth. I have to laugh between yours and Bill's comment. I was thinking, you know, Chick-fil-A in paradise, but, you know, I'm kind of funny that way. Anyway.
Well, we're off Chick-fil-A anyway because they caved to the woke culture. They're on our, I don't know, we don't really have a boycott list, but if we did, they'd be on it.
Yeah, I tend to agree, and I'm very disappointed in them because I didn't think they would cave, but apparently there's a lot of cave. Anyway,
these sons of great conservatives, you know, I'm thinking of what happened with Fox News and the Murdoch boys. I'm thinking about what happened at Chick-fil-A with the sons that took it over there.
Yep.
Even Bill Buckley's son, even Irving Kristol's son. I mean, what is it about these second generation conservatives?
Now, James Buckley was Bill Buckley's brother, if I recall.
Still alive.
I'm familiar with the son. And
the son is Christopher, and he's become...
Oh, Chris Buckley.
Yeah,
okay.
Quite a piece of work. Yeah.
All right. Now, I'm sure you've probably seen the movie The Great Escape with Steve McQueen. And
James Garner.
James Garner. And
Richard Attenborough.
Richard Attenborough.
Charles Bronson.
I think you've seen this.
I may watch it again tonight.
It's one of my all-time favorites, and I remember seeing it when I was like 10 years old.
Yeah.
But anyway, what's interesting and maybe twisted in my mind was I thought about this as there are discussions that you guys were having about Tulsi Gabbard. And bear with me for a moment. First of all, obviously, as we know, Tulsi Gabbard's a Democrat. And as had been discussed, you know, she could have been a contender. Now, fast forward, or backward, I guess, to there's a scene with Squadron Leader Bartlett, Big X, Richard Attenborough. Yep, who just got released from the Gestapo and the SS after 3 months. And he goes in and talks to Group Captain Ramsey, James Donald, who's the senior British officer.
Yep.
Now, after Bartlett is taken to the Dalek Luke 3, he and the SBO start talking. And I may have to paraphrase a little bit, but I remember the scene because, and this is right after Bartlett gets back into the prisoner of war camp. He's Group Captain Ramsey says that, you know, at least they're prisoners of the Luftwaffe, not
right. The high command and the Luftwaffe, right. Right.
That's right.
Right.
And then Squadron Leader Bartlett, Richard Attenborough, says, look, sir, you talk about the high command and the Luftwaffe.
Right.
And then you talk about the Gestapo and the SS.
Right.
To me, they're the same.
We're fighting the bloody lot of them. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's only one way to put it, sir. They are the common enemies of everyone who believes in freedom.
Yeah.
Now, I am looking at this and thinking about Tulsi Gabbard.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking about the Democrat Party. And when I think of freedom, I don't think of the Democrat Party.
I know.
Does that make sense?
It does. It does. And the bloody lot of them. Let's think about that for a second.
That's right.
Let's just think about that. You know, I know some people think I make too big of a deal of this, but I don't think I do. I'm pretty resolute on this. Nancy Pelosi had choices. Had choices in this election. Had choices in doing things in the primaries. She could have stayed out of them. You know, it's very easy for a political leader of a party to say, I'm not going to get involved in primaries. In fact, almost every state party says that in primaries.
Yeah.
It's a problem, but they do. She had that option. Or she could have tried to support moderates in the Democratic Party who were running your Ilhan Omars and your Rashida Tlaibs. What did she do? She endorsed Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar in their primary. I have to take a break. Will you stay with me?
I'll love to stay with you, Seth.
If the high command didn't approve of Hitler, then why didn't they throw him out? Right, Rob? Right. Be right back. Welcome back. Let me tell you about Sam and Sally here in Phoenix. They had a great home. It had wonderful mountain views. They needed to sell it. They listed it with a local agent. After 6 months of lack of communication and feedback from the agent and, of course, no sale, they were frustrated, but they made a great call. They called James Wexler. Once he listed their home, he marketed it locally as well as on several high-traffic websites and had it under contract within a week. Just like that, the frustration was over. If you're thinking about or planning on selling your home, you want James Wexler of JMG Real Estate, the only real estate agent I would call if I needed to sell my home. You don't want to give away your home or leave money on the table or have regrets about a price you could have had. James Wexler will sell your house at market value, or he'll pay the difference. He guarantees it. For maximum convenience, James can also make you an upfront guaranteed offer within 24 hours. Check him out at jameswexler.com. That's James Wexler, WEXLER.com. Or call him at 480-386-0711. There's a reason the Phoenix Business Journal ranks him the number one selling individual agent in Arizona. Rob, thanks for waiting. How are you? What's up?
Well, I'm good. I had just sort of compared, I guess, the Democrat Party in general and Tulsi Gabbard, who, yeah, she was in uniform, and yeah, she was actually fairly sane throughout the debates early on. But yeah, they threw her under the bus, and she never gained traction, and it all went away. And yet, you know, we were talking earlier that, you know, of all the other candidates, and I guess Hillary must have had a role in snuffing her out some way, figuratively.
Remember what Hillary said? Said she was an agent of Russia.
Yeah, and of course, you know, this is just the continuing lies and misrepresentations that come out of the media.
Yeah.
And that's where, again, in my, you know, weird twist way of thinking, when I was talking about the Great Escape, you know, we're fighting the bloody lot.
Yeah, the bloody lot of them, you bet.
The bloody lot, Antifa, BLM, the Democrats, the media, academia, the public schools, and
the difference between Bill de Blasio and Joe Biden is so minute you cannot see it.
No, that's right.
There is no distinction between the policies they would enact. And I will tell you, as you probably already know, a Joe Biden administration will be staffed with thousands of Bill de Blasios.
And hangovers from either the Obama administration or Hillary hangovers, too. Or holdovers, I guess.
Holdovers, yeah. And I see what you're saying.
Yeah. And so, again, I don't think a lot of Republicans and conservatives realize we're at war. We are at an intellectual, political war against people that are against freedom. That's really it. And I remember talking to you a few weeks ago where, you know, I mentioned that, you know, my belief is that Democrats want to empower government and Republicans want to empower the individual.
Right, people.
And that still holds true today.
Yeah.
In my view, and I think I'm right. I hate to be right like this, but I think it's still true. And that's what most people need to understand when they're thinking about, you know.
Look at what the government can do to you, Rob, under fairly moderate to Republican conservative leadership. Look at how hard it was for Donald Trump to hold back some of these tides. Think about that. Think about that. If Donald Trump and Bill Barr are having such a hard time, just think about the tsunami that comes when they're gone.
Well, yeah. And again, that's why I believe they are the common enemies of everyone who believes in freedom.
Yeah.
And that goes back to the Great Escape quote. But I think that's where that message needs to resonate throughout America. And people need to understand what's at stake here. I'm thinking that more and more are, but I also worry about the cheating and the, you know.
I worry about the cheating. So I think the themes should be freedom and safety. I think freedom and safety is a nice combination. And
I agree.
And it's a nice duality because, you know, it also shows that we're not libertines. It also shows that we're not anarchists here, that we haven't let common sense fly out the door. I would say freedom and safety. That's what the Republican Party stands for, me.
And I think common sense. And again, that's something that seems to be in short supply these days almost everywhere, too.
Yeah.
Which I think our end of things has in great supply, and the other side has very little of in supply based on all the actions and things that have happened over the last 6 months.
What worries me is how many people buy it, you know, are willing to. It's so worrisome. We have lost so much. I mean, we have. It's odd to me to sometimes think I may live in a country I don't recognize in my fellow countrymen. It's an odd feeling.
Yeah, and like the comments that were made earlier with Montini and Arizona Republic.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, where's the balance there? Where is the other side? Where is the alternate point of view? Where is the alternate belief system? It's not showing up. And
it wouldn't be hard because they're not, you know, I don't know if you've read EJ's stuff, but it's not good by any standard. Freshman college essayist would be put in remedial writing if they turned in the kinds of columns he's turning in.
Well, and again, it's not objective. It's opinion.
Of course. But it's also just really sloppy reasoning and sloppy writing. It's just.
And it's based on things that just aren't true. You know, and that's the thing that bothers me the most. And that's why I worry about the media influencing so many people based on lies. You know, the Atlantic article on Trump and, you know, the book from Woodward conveniently coming out this week, and then there's another one next week.
Oh, yeah, there's another one next week. Yeah, you bet.
Yeah.
You bet.
And then the following week, I think it's Brennan's turn.
Oh, is it? Yeah, we're just beginning to scratch the surface. Peter Stroke doesn't have a book yet? Right.
No, but I'm sure he will.
I'm sure he will.
Anyway, thank you, Seth.
All right, Rob, thank you.
Take care.
Let's do a day of movie quotes about freedom tomorrow. To honor September 11. Great movie quotes about freedom. I'd love to do that with you all. Okay, be right back. We have a few people left over on hold. Not left over, left on hold. Call back tomorrow. We ran out of time today. Happy to take your calls and put them right at the top of the list if you tell us you were hanging on from the day before. Bill, the problem with you not knowing country music is you could have slammed me on the chicken music thing. You could have said, Zach Brown, Chicken Fried, it's in the title. But it would have been an argument against interest because Chicken Fried implies skin, doesn't it? Yeah, sure does. I opened my monologue today quoting Winston Churchill, saying we need more Winston Churchill and less Ward Churchill. An address he gave in 1938, Winston did, about the meaning of civilization. I thought I'd close. I read from his closing. I thought I'd finish the show with its opening. It's just beautiful. There are few words which are used more loosely than the word civilization. What does it mean? It means a society based upon the opinion of civilians. It means that violence, the rule of warriors, despotic chiefs, the conditions of camps and warfare, of riot and tyranny, give place to parliaments and congresses where laws are made and independent courts of justice in which over long periods those laws are maintained. That is civilization. And in its soil grows continually freedom, comfort, and culture. When civilization reigns in any country, a wider and less harassed life is afforded to the masses of the people. The traditions of the past are cherished, and the inheritance bequeathed to us by former wise or valiant men becomes a rich estate to be enjoyed and used by all. Is that America today? Freedom, comfort, culture? What's being done to it? What's being done to it? We need a great relearning on the meaning of civilization here. A great relearning. And we could do worse than starting with the teacher, Winston Churchill. He's on my mind a lot when we come around this time of year. Until tomorrow, thanks for spending some of your afternoon with us. God bless you. Class dismissed.